And so if I could steal the opening that Father Saunders used, I think it's a good opening, so don't be upset if you were here for his homily last night. He asked, what if Jesus were to appear to you and ask you, what is it that you want? I will give you anything you ask of me. What would be the treasure that you would request of the Lord? What would be that pearl of great price that you would, given the opportunity, ask the Lord to give to you? The Gospels, not specifically this little piece, but if you read the Gospels as a whole, they would present to us that Jesus himself is the pearl of great price. Jesus is the treasure for whom we should be willing to sell all that we have to obtain. He is worth more than everything on earth, more than all the earth put together. We think that the ocean, with all of its depths and beauty and the coral reefs and all that is swimming in it, the land and all of its mineral resources and all the beauty that you can find there, the sky and all the creatures that fly through it. The earth has a beauty beyond all imagining. But in comparison to Jesus, in comparison to God himself, the earth is nothing but a speck of dust. Jesus is the kingdom of God. And heaven is nothing more, nothing less than having that relationship with Jesus. That relationship which in the parables today Jesus says is worth selling all to obtain. This is so important for us to remember that our Catholic faith, our Christianity, is all about a relationship with God. About Him reaching down from heaven, entering into time, entering into our lives to be in relationship with us. That we are not merely a religion of a book. The Catechism says that exact phrase. It says that Christian faith is not a religion of the book. It is a religion of a person. And this is the theme that is found so often in the writings of Pope Benedict. For example, he wrote, Christianity is not an intellectual system, a collection of dogmas, or a moralism. Christianity is an encounter, a love story. Elsewhere, he wrote, Christianity is not a new philosophy or a new morality. We are Christians only if we encounter Christ, only in this personal relationship with Christ, only in this encounter with the risen one do we really become Christians. And then finally, he also wrote, for each one of you, as for the apostles, the encounter with the divine teacher who calls you friends may be the beginning of an extraordinary venture, that of becoming apostles among your contemporaries, to lead them to live their own experience of friendship with God made man, with God who has made himself my friend. My brothers and sisters, heaven, the pearl of great price, the treasure for which we are willing to sell all, is Jesus, is relationship with Jesus, is the life that he desires to share with us. A life that begins here on earth, a life that draws us throughout our lives to then reach its culmination, its fulfillment, its telos, its end, as we enter into that beatific vision, that union of our life with his life in eternity, that for not long time, but that forever, which is heaven. Now, to some people, this idea could seem escapist, thinking about heaven when there is so much to do here on earth. But the irony is that those who look towards heaven, those who think about heaven, those who are living for heaven, who make the sacrifice of their lives for Jesus, these people are often the ones who do the most and do the best for their brothers and sisters on earth. We can think of the many examples. St. John Paul II, Blessed Mother Teresa of Calcutta, St. Francis of Cabrini, St. Vincent de Paul, St. Martin de Porres, St. Jeanne Jugan, who founded the Little Sisters of the Poor, St. Camillus de Lillis, St. Elizabeth of Hungary, and on and on and on, all these saints who sacrificed everything for heaven, and therefore did everything for the people here on earth. This is the question that I think the readings this Sunday present us with, is what are we going to live our lives for? In the first reading, we hear about a man, Solomon, who made a good start towards that kingdom of heaven. He was the successor to King David, and he, in that dream, was offered anything he desired, is what God offered him. He could have asked for wealth or triumph over his enemies, but he did not. He asked for wisdom so that he could govern prudently. And it was a beautiful desire that pleased God. But Solomon, unfortunately, dropped the ball. He got involved in lustful practices, and he allowed foreign gods into Jerusalem. He wasn't allowing the religious pluralism which we in this country used to celebrate, but rather he was watering down the faith of Israel. And Solomon began a process of decline that required prophets to get them back on the right track. And so we can see in Solomon a man who was given the gift of wisdom, but then who failed to carry through to the end. And this can happen to us. Jesus warns us about bad fish getting caught and mixed in with the good fish in the net. Every fisherman knows that when you catch the fish, you have to examine it to see if this is an edible one or if it's one that needs to be tossed back. And the bad fish in this world are not only the Christians who backslide, but you and I, do we not have bad fish swimming in our subconscious, or maybe even in our consciousness? Do we not have bad fish living inside ourselves? Maybe we've made the down payment on the treasure, that hidden treasure, that pearl of great price, but unlike St. Francis of Assisi, unlike Mother Teresa, unlike the Spanish martyrs, maybe we have not yet sold everything to purchase it in total. But still, it is good that we've made that down payment. And if we trust in Jesus, if we live Jesus, he will help us to complete that purchase. But make no mistake, the price, as Jesus said over and over again, is everything. Perhaps if you were like me and you have a Facebook and you look at the Facebook, I'm sure there's other things out there though that kind of list what everybody else in the world is interested in. You would see this past week that the world was interested in a great many things. Interested, like, top stories. Who the new cast is for Game of Thrones. That Ben Affleck is going to be the new Batman. That there's a documentary about Nicolas Cage. That there's this football player who evidently was a horrible man, but he ended up getting married to the girl anyway, and I don't even understand that story. Why would she marry? I don't know. Anyway, but you had to look deep to find what I would say is the most important, the most difficult news story of the week, and I would say more even of the week, certainly for the entire year. The story about the obliteration of Christianity in Iraq. It wasn't until Thursday that I started to see this story gain a little bit of attention, and other places I still haven't seen them talking about this. That in our government, where is it talking about the obliteration of Christianity in Iraq? But we must pay attention to this. In the gospel, we hear about the pearl of great price, the kingdom of God, that relationship with Jesus. And as I speak, our brothers and sisters are paying the ultimate price for that pearl. They're paying for their relationship with Jesus with their lives. In the city of Mosul, that second largest city in Iraq, the church bells have fallen silent after 1,600 years. There is no liturgy, no church service, no mass for the first time. Crosses have been ripped off the churches. The cathedral has been turned into a mosque. Monastery was raided and looted and overtaken, and the monks were forced to leave with only the clothes on their backs. And in a video that I saw on YouTube, the ancient tomb of the prophet Jonah, the one who preached to Nineveh, one of the holiest places there in Iraq, was bombed and destroyed. The edict has gone forth. Convert to Islam or accept dhimmitude, that status which means being a second-class citizen and paying the jizya tax, that sign of submission. And if you don't pay, you will be killed. And it's not an idle threat. There's pictures of those Christians who have been crucified because they refused to submit to Allah. And it's happening for one reason only. Because they have this relationship with Jesus Christ. Because they are Christians. My brothers and sisters, you and I who are gathered in this church this morning, we have that same pearl of great price presented to us. That pearl of faith. That treasure of hope. But we want to remember, pearls are not created in a vacuum. They are formed from friction, from hardship. But out of that friction, out of that hardship comes a miracle, a jewel of profound simplicity, but also of so great beauty, which gives off radiance and light. And we see this, of course, most perfectly in the light of Jesus Christ, who after his resurrection from and his bitter passion and suffering and death, he continues to shine forth with a light that dazzles and with a radiance of that continues to shine despite the 2,000 centuries since his death. But we see this light also in the lives of so many other saints. We think of the apostles. St. James, we just celebrated this past Friday, but all of the apostles who though martyred, accepted martyrdom, but spread the church in the first century. We think of the Roman martyrs in the beginning centuries who built the church and spread the light of Christ in the underground. We think of the martyrs who overcame the empire of Rome, such as St. Telemachus, who died to end the gladiatorial combats. We think of the martyrs of the Middle Ages who spread the faith to Germany, to Poland, to the Vikings, and to so many other lands. The martyrs of the Renaissance who died defending the church against unjust governments. Saints such as St. John Nepomucene, who died for the confessional. Saints like St. Thomas a Becket, who died for the church in England. We can think of the missionary martyrs during the Age of Discovery, those including the Jesuit martyrs who came here to North America, the martyrs of Japan, the martyrs of China, the martyrs of Africa, the martyrs of India, who laid down their lives, paid the ultimate price so that the faith could spread throughout all the world. We think of the martyrs whose death witnessed to the love of Christian morality. Such martyrs as St. Charles Lwanga in Africa and all of his Ugandan companions. Or St. Maria Goretti in Italy, who died for purity. And in the past 100 years, we could think of the saints of the Cristero War, who died in Mexico. Saints Maximilian Kolbe and St. Edith Stein, who died in Germany under the Nazis. We could think of the Trappist monks who in 1996 were martyred in Algeria. And today we can add the saints in the Middle East who are holding on to their friendship with Jesus, their pearl of great price, even as they pay for that pearl with their own blood. My brothers and sisters, this is the history of the church. This is what Christ promised. He said, "In the world, you will have difficulty. In the world, they will hate you. But have courage. I have overcome the world." If we want to experience that same victory, if we want that light which draws us into this church to shine in our lives, we must be willing to pay the price. We must be willing to sell all to have that relationship, that life-giving relationship with Jesus Christ.